Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to a very special edition of Keeping It Reals. I am your host, Eduardo M. Fryer. And you know what? I'm going to start things off with some happy geek stuff, because a couple of happy geek things happened this past week. And you know what? I feel that they should be addressed. Happy thing number one is the fact that, the cast for Star Wars Episode 9 got released, and there are some surprises, or at least some, surprises if you've been living under a rock, and surprises if you didn't see this coming a mile away. First off, Billy Dee Williams is coming back. We've got Lando coming back at last. I guess having Lando just basically steal the show in the Han Solo spinoff kind of helped get things going in that respect. And not to mention, Mark Hamill is supposed to be back, so I'm guessing Force Ghost. Hashtag Force Ghost. Of course, yeah, that's one of those things where probably see it coming from a mile away. And also, Carrie Fisher will kind of sort of be back. There was some footage that had been filmed over that was unused for Force Awakens, and they're going to use that to make sure Leia's a part of things. So that is really cool, and I was already looking forward to Episode 9 because it's Star Wars, but these additions to the cast just really excite me. Let's see. Well, speaking of getting me excited, because I just love her so much, my wife, the wonderful Patricia Helm, is here. Patricia Helm Fryer, how you doing, honey?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Should I tell the audience about the other happy geek thing that has me all excited, all a Twitter? Mm-hmm. This week? Okay. Well, yeah, the other thing is, the shareholders met, and people are okay with Disney acquiring Fox's assets, which means, barring any last-minute snafus, the Fantastic Four and X-Men are coming home. Marvel's got its characters in one banner. We don't have to worry about another studio doing a Fan4 stick. I am so happy. I know there's a lot of people who are kind of like freaked out because the Mouse House absorbed all this shit. But you know what? The Fantastic Four and X-Men are back where they belong. So I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm hoping that right now in the little Marvel Cinematic Universe brain trust, there are writers that are sitting there on word processors, laptops, computers, typewriters, whatever, and they are punching out a script and a story for a Fantastic Four movie that does the team justice, because you know what? It's been a long time coming. And yeah, so I'm happy. I'm not worried about the Mouse House taking over the world. And honestly, right about now, if it does, if they give me a really good Fantastic Four movie that just joins the pantheon of awesome Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, I'm going to be like, all hail our mouse overlord.
I don't have a problem with it too much, but I do see where people would worry because they are acquiring a lot, and you know, they can, when one company controls a lot of the entertainment and media that we receive, you know, who knows if it's going to be tailored to what they want us to think or if it's going to be the actual truth.
It's true, but you know, I tried to tell a friend this when we were texting and chatting about it, that the silver lining could be that it probably will be a while before Disney could pull something like this, because number one, they're going to need to make their money back on this purchase, and number two, I'm sure that the powers that be that regulate this will kind of be like, okay, hey, we let you take the Fox stuff, now take a break, okay? All right? Because, you know, hey, we don't want anybody getting too big here. So, you know, that's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm hoping for, is that, yeah. And plus, you know, the stuff they acquired is just kind of filling in the blanks for stuff they already have. You know, it's having the rights to Marvel characters they didn't have the rights to. You know, getting the rights to the original copies of Star Wars. You know, so there's really not that much. You know, there is some new stuff that they now have the rights to, but there's also some stuff that it's just simply having, you know, it's just simply completing the collection, so to speak.
Well, we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm hoping sooner rather than later we get some sort of teaser that involves a four. And, you know, somebody saying it's clobbering time. But anyway, you know what? We should get on to the main thrust of the episode, shouldn't we? And that, of course, would be, well, today we're talking franchise fatigue. And yeah, I should kind of get into details. See, there was an episode that I had planned. In fact, our wonderful producer, Iggy Matthews, and I, you know, we were talking about it, and we really wanted to do an episode that was, well, it started off as a response of saying fuck you to James Cameron, because he sat there and shot his mouth off about Wonder Woman and how he didn't get why Wonder Woman was such a big deal, and, you know, oh, you know, she's not a really good, you know, role model or symbol of female empowerment. And then he goes off to say, well, what about my character, Sarah Connor? I think she's so much better. And then, of course, he had to shoot his mouth off and say, yeah, you know what? I think people are tired of superhero movies. There's nothing original out there. You know, there's no original ideas. This, of course, coming from somebody who's doing, what, three, four sequels to Avatar in development and is supposed to be
Something like that.
revisiting the Terminator franchise. Yeah, and he's supposed to be revisiting the Terminator franchise. I mean, you know, I just kind of wanted to do an episode where I was just like, you know what, Cameron? Okay, True Lies. I love the Terminator films, but you know what? You're being full of shit right now. Okay? You're being full of shit, and the fact that you rag on Wonder Woman while complaining about how why isn't anybody talking about Sarah Connor, it's like, dude, okay, stop. Stop. Stop patting yourself on the back while trying to rag on somebody because they're a hit. Okay? Not to mention the fact that, all right, reality check. Reality check. Wonder Woman has been a symbol of female empowerment, has been a symbol of the female superhero for fucking decades, okay? For a lot more decades than Sarah Connor has been around. You know, for a lot more decades than Sarah Connor has been running around in a tank top and sunglasses and brandishing a machine gun. All right? So step off. Okay? Step off, quit whining. You know, especially because, well, you know, yeah, that kind of brings up to the point that, as you know, with a little bit of thought and also some help, thank you very much, just simply spending 90 minutes, 60 to 90 minutes ragging on James Cameron is not much for an episode. I was thinking for a minute there, hey, how about throw Michael Bay into the mix, because I'm not a fan of his, well, bread and circuses approach to filmmaking. But then, you know, there was just some thought and some discussion. Why not just talk about, you know, why not talk about franchise fatigue? Why not talk about franchises where it's like, you know what? You're done. Okay, 15 minutes is up. All right, get off the stage. You know, they're bringing, you know, it's kind of like, you know, that vaudeville joke of like, you know, the long stick with like the curved hook, you know, grabbing the guy and kind of like dragging him out. It's like, yeah, you know, maybe there are some franchises that it's time to do that. And, you know, maybe there are some that still have some life. And, you know, that's basically what, you know, today's discussion is. You know, what are some that should just stop? Are there some that don't need to stop because they're still fucking awesome? And are there some that, okay, misstep, but with a little bit of work, they can still come back? You know, that's basically what we're talking about here. So I think, you know what, Trish, tell you what, you know what, ladies first, why don't you pick a franchise? What franchise do you think, what's a franchise that comes to your mind when people talk franchise fatigue?
Transformers.
Okay, wow. All right. We're gonna start off with that. Holy cow. Okay, now, all right. Question, how many of those films have you seen?
I have no idea, but I know it's at least two or three too many.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I saw,
I think I've seen three of them. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I know I saw the first three. I believe I saw the fourth one, the one, you know, the first Mark Wahlberg one. And then, yeah, there's The Last Night, which I know that we started watching. Here's the question for you. Do you think that it's done? You think the Transformer movies are done?
I know they say they are, but it isn't. I still consider this Bumblebee movie as a Transformer movie. I don't give a crap that they're calling it just Bumblebee or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
yeah,
it's still a Transformer movie, and I don't think,
yeah,
they're done.
Well, I know that it was announced that there were supposed to be, I think, at least like a couple of more movies after Bumblebee. You know, a couple of more movies that are like Transformers, you know, blank, blank, blank. But that it was announced that all the movies after, you know, any movie plans after Bumblebee have been scrapped. It's like, nope. Bumblebee is apparently the last one. I don't think I've seen anything definitive as to what's going on, whether or not they just want to do a complete reboot or whether they just want to, like, you know, go back and say, okay, hold on a minute. Maybe the plans that we have in place aren't going to work. Let's see if maybe we tweak things. I do know that there's been talk about, you know, Transformers is Hasbro, so is G.I. Joe, and a bunch of other stuff. And I know there's been talk that Hasbro really wants to have their own unified universe. And I heard that starting in, like, 2019 and 2020, any films that have Hasbro properties in them are supposed to be interconnected. You know, they're supposed to be part of this bigger universe. So I'm kind of wondering if what they want to do is they want to relaunch Transformers as a part of this unified universe. All I got to say is, you know, it's Transformers. I feel like they need to stop, like the franchise just needs to stop, wait a couple of years, and then come back. The thing is, though, and, you know, I've talked about this, it's frustrating because they made money. I mean, these things, you know, these things are poorly written. You know, there's stuff that I know because I've seen this, that classic fans are like, what the fuck, constantly. But they seem to keep making money. They seem to pull in enough people that are not, you know, classic fans that are freaking out over shit like this, which I've done so as well. You know, I'm guilty of this. But they seem to pull in enough people that they make money. So there's a part of me that's like, you know, creatively, maybe they should stop and find something else. But then there's another part of me that thinks they're not going to because, you know, the powers that be are going to be like, nope, we made all this money, so nope, don't need to change a thing. I mean, I just, you know what, you're not a Transformers fan, Trish. So, like, what's
no,
your
it's
feeling
like, well,
on this?
I just remember the last one I saw, there was so much action in this movie that I got tired of it, that I was actually falling asleep during the movie because there was so many fight scenes. There was no story. It was just fight scenes. And
yeah,
that's how most of them are. And it's to the point, and then they have the habit of doing that stupid thing where they are really, really close to the fight and the action, and the entire screen is just flailing body parts of Transformers. And you can't,
yeah,
even tell what the hell is going on. And it just,
yep,
gets to the point,
yeah,
where you don't give a crap anymore. And that's,
yep,
where,
I mean,
I,
all,
that's,
yeah,
where it's been for me.
Yeah, and I got to admit, I'm not a fan of the style. You know, the style that they do the designs in, because it just looks like somebody ate an Erector set and vomited it out. You know, I mean, I under I understand, okay? I understand that it's probably a tough thing to CGI, you know, a robot transforming from a car. You know, I get that it's probably really tough and, you know, it's a pain in the ass to try and make it look real, and that this, these designs were an attempt to make it look like it could function in the real world. It's just, it looks ugly. It looks like crap. I know that the comics tried to emulate the style, but it lasted maybe, I don't know, less than a year before they went back to styles that kind of look more like what we, you know, what those of us who grew up with the cartoons and the comics and the toys are used to. It's like, it's something, it's frustrating because, you know, yeah, they're, you fall asleep. I basically stick my finger in my throat and I go, wow, this is what happened to my childhood. But, you know, there are enough people that are interested. There are enough people that buy the toys that, you know, that watch the movies. So it's weird.
Well,
like, the verdict on this is, yeah.
I just knew that, you know, something was wrong in the first movie I don't remember if it was the first or the second movie, with, you know, so much emphasis on, let's get all these weird, you know, sexual shots of Megan Fox, you know, and then in the third movie, they have one of the opening shots is following that new chick, you know, her ass as she's walking up the stairs.
Yeah, she's wearing like a shirt and nothing else, and she's walking up the stairs.
Yeah, she's wearing a shirt and panties or something, and it's the camera is affixed right to her ass, and it's just like really, like, okay,
well, yeah,
we get it. We know who these movies are aimed at. They're aimed at guys, and
here's the thing. It's like they're aimed at guys, but it's also like, okay, you have a movie involving giant robots fighting. You shouldn't have to do the thing with Megan Fox straddling a motorcycle or her, like, bending over, showing her ass as she's, like, working on Bumblebee's engine. You shouldn't have to have, her name was Rose Hunt.
And also,
you know,
the position of her straddling that motorcycle, no one in their right fucking mind would be in that position doing the work that she was doing. It was just all for sex appeal, and it was just blatant, and it was just like, even Stevie Wonder would have seen that footage and been like, I know exactly what they're doing, and it's sick.
Wow. Shots fired. Damn. Call the cops. Shots fired. Youch. Youch. Have I ever told you how badass you are? You're badass. Seriously, you are. You are. I have a badass wife. I have a badass wife. If you disagree with me, fight me. Or better yet, run into her and then just don't come crying to me. Oh my God, I didn't realize. Yes, you did. I told you. You didn't listen to me. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, come on. But, oh, man. But what, what do you think is another, okay, what's another franchise that people have been debating, is it done or not? You know, moving on from Transformers.
Well, okay, let's talk about one that you and I both like that I some feelings about, you know, and that's Star Wars.
Okay. Ah, okay, there we go. Ah, okay, this is good. This is good. Okay.
This is the, you know, opposite type of thing, you know, like this is a franchise that I love, but even I'm starting to get franchise fatigue with this because what's going on is what I was afraid was going to happen when Disney bought Star Wars. I was afraid that Disney was going to, you know, overdo it, and they really are, because, you know, before Disney bought it, if you were out and about shopping somewhere and you found something that was Star Wars themed, it was like, it was really cool. It was like, oh my God, I found something Star Wars. This is so cool. I'm buying this. And now there is Star Wars on everything. It's everywhere. And so it's not even special anymore. It's like, I mean, I saw Ziploc bags that have Star Wars characters on it. I've seen bags of lettuce that have Star Wars characters on it. I think
you need to use this for salad.
Yeah, and it's just, it's not special anymore. And it's just really sad. It's just sad because, you know, this was, and Disney just does this all the time, and I wish that they wouldn't, because, I mean, okay, I get it. They bought it to make money, but it would be so much better if they would focus on quality over quantity.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
They tend to focus on quality, you know, on their parks and stuff. You know, they'll take the time to make something well and make it look good and feel right, and they'll pay attention to the little details. But then as far as their merchandising goes, it's just like any shit they can produce, they think someone will make, will buy, they will make it. They won't make quality stuff. They make crappy stuff. And it's just like, it's like, really? It's just, sigh I just did is just a big indicator of how I feel. I'm just, every time I see something Star Wars now, I just sigh. It's like, I'm not even, it's to the point where I'm not even that mad anymore. I mean, I'm still kind of ticked, but it's more disappointment now than it is mad. It's,
you know,
disappointment.
Well, on the merchandising side of things, you know, merchandising. We put the movie's name on everything. Exactly. Like, for me, as far as like all the shit with Star Wars printed on it, I'm just blasé in the sense that I don't care anymore because there's nothing. You know, it's just like it's the Spaceballs joke come true. You know, so it's like. So it's like, you know, all this Star Wars stuff on everything, you know, and I'm just like, it comes to the point where I don't notice anymore because it's just not that eye-catching, you know. I mean, and I don't know what's worse, just the kind of annoyance, not even paying attention because there's just, it's like, why do you have to pay attention, you know? As far as the media is concerned, I mean, we talked about this when we reviewed Solo, and that was a misstep. You know, that was a misstep, and the blame can probably be thrown a couple of places, you know, a few places. Really, I would say that Star Wars probably has some life left in it. Like, it's not dead yet, but it needs to be taken care of. There needs to be some TLC here. And probably, I think part of it is most, you know, I think part of it is what you're saying, that maybe we need to pull back on the merchandising thing. You know, maybe we don't need, you know, Star Wars brand asthma inhalers. You know, we don't need Star Wars brand defibrillator paddles in hospitals.
See Darth Vader on that one.
Use this to breathe normally.
Oh, wouldn't it be funny if they could make an asthma inhaler that sounded like that when you squeezed it?
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. I think we just gave them an idea. Shit. Guys, we were joking. Listen. Disney marketing team, if you're listening to this, we're joking.
An emperor defibrillator for hospital use. God.
And now, young Jedi, you will be cleared. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Or maybe the Emperor Palpatine heart monitor. Something. Dark side. Something. He is dead. Oh, jeez. I mean, for me, I think as far as movies are concerned, as far as things like that, I would say, you know what? Yeah, focus, do like a quality versus quantity. I know that they just finished Star Wars Rebels, like I think last year, and they're already preparing another animated series that's supposed to take place like pre-Force Awakens, and, you know, okay, I mean, that's fine that they want to keep something on TV. You know, maybe just like, here's the thing, maybe one of the things to do is, because they're making this universe, because they're trying to make their own universe, just take a minute and say, okay, you know, we're doing these books, we're doing these comics, we're doing cartoons, let's hold off for a minute, let's make a map, okay? These are the things that we want to cover. What's the best way to cover these things? You know, come up with a plan. You know, come up with a plan, like, we're doing these types of spin-offs. This stuff can be covered in the books. These are what we do for movies. You know, don't just like put everything in a blender and pull stuff out. You know, this is not a raffle. You know, this is not bingo. You know, it's like, this isn't even a dartboard. You know, this is a garden, and let's not just throw all these seeds in there and get a tamako plant. Let's be careful with the seeds that we plant. I mean, would you say I got a point? Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Should I bow before the mouse house and go, I'm sorry for doubting you. I'm sorry for doubting you, Mickey. Drake, you're sorry. You're supposed to worship the mouse, not doubt him.
It's funny, just, you know, looking at the different pictures we used for the promo for this, you know, quite a few of them are from the mouse house.
Yeah. The mouse.
We had Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, I mean, I don't know. Are they making another one of those? Are they supposedly making another one? Or are they done?
You know what? Honestly, I haven't heard. You know what? It's, I think you don't mind if I use it as a segue, do you? Because I think,
no,
yeah, since you mentioned it, I think we should just, let's do this. Honestly, I haven't heard of anything. I haven't heard that they're making a, what does this be? Number six? Like the sixth part of the Caribbean movie?
I think this was number five, right?
No. There was the first trilogy, which was Curse of the Black
Pearl.
Oh,
yeah, this would be six. You're right.
Yeah, it was Curse of the Black Pearl. What was the name of the second one? The first appearance of Davy Jones? Because I know there was
Dead
the second. I know that the third.
No. Hang on.
Shit. Okay, wait. Curse of the
Black
Pearl.
I'm failing. Dead Man's Chest.
Okay. There was Curse of the Black Pearl, Dead Man's Chest. The third one was
At World's End.
The World's End. Yeah. Then there was the fourth one, which
on Stranger Tides.
Stranger Tides.
That was on
and
Stranger
then this
Tides.
One was Dead Men Tell No Tales. Right.
That's right. So this would be six.
Right. Yeah. So a new one would be six. I mean, I know that the ads were kind of saying, you know, the final, you know, they were kind of acting like this was supposed to be the last movie. But then you have, you know, then you have the post-credits scene, which hinted that Davy Jones was, you know, back from the land of the dead. So it's like, is this one of those things where they were like, okay, this will be the last one. Wait, we made money. Wait, Johnny Depp is available. You know, that is it that kind of thing? So I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard anything, and I don't know. To be honest, you know, between you, me, and the wall, I feel like Pirates should be done. Because, I mean, it's, you know, I actually thought this should be done after the fourth movie, after On Stranger Tides, because that was, you know, I mean, I think we discussed this when we reviewed the Pirates of the Caribbean, the last one. You know, the thing with Stranger Tides and even with Dead Men Tell No Tales is, you know, the message is, yeah, Johnny Depp, when he's being Captain Jack and he doesn't have, you know, and he's the main character, it's just not that interesting. He's annoying. And it's like
it's
the only way the only reason I could see another movie is, you know, Johnny Depp wants a paycheck and the costume is still in storage. And it's like, we don't need that. We don't need him being drunken Captain Jack, you know, going, savvy, you know, yeah, I'm going to take the pearl and I'm going to look for this, savvy. It's like, it's over. It's over. Wrap it up. In fact, if anything, we could have had, like, okay, you could somehow erase the fourth and fifth movies from existence, and you have a story. You have, you know, you have a story that has a beginning, middle, and end. You know, you could easily, in fact, I could have sworn that I read this somewhere, that the implication of the post-credits scene in the third movie, you know, where you get the green flash and there's Will and the Dutchman heading to shore, and you first see, like, his son. I read somewhere that the directorial intent was that Will Turner was coming home and he was done, that he wasn't cursed to sail the seas, that the fact that he looks human and everything. And, you know, the fact that when he took command of the Pearl that all the crap was falling off people, it was, you know, it wasn't looking as nasty, was that somehow the curse had been broken. And while Will does have to do this for a while, that it's not like forever and ever like Davy Jones, you know? And it's like, I remember reading this somewhere. And honestly, it's like the way that it ended, the way you have that ending, you could just as easily say, yes, that's exactly what the fuck is going on. And there you go. Boom. The end. And you didn't have to have on Stranger Tides. You didn't have to have, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Like, just totally, totally unnecessary.
Well, I've said it before, and I think my mom said it first to me. She's like, you know, Disney's mm-hmm. never met a dead horse that didn't like to beat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and
it's
if they think they're going to make money off of it, they're going to do it.
Yeah. You know, that actually brings me to another one. That brings me to another one. You know, funny you should mention Dead Horse. Because you know what? I want to ride like the wind to this next one. And that would be, Toy Story. You know, Toy Story and the Pixar-verse.
Oh, yeah, this is
this
is one that I've been complaining about because ever since I saw that they were making a fourth Toy Story. The first three, you know, as a trilogy, they were perfect. They had a perfect beginning, middle, and end. And it's just crazy that they're going to do another one because the way the last one ended was a beautiful way to end the whole trilogy. It was just at the end of it, it was like, wow, well, that was really good and I'm done, you know, and I don't need any more. They don't need to add anything else because it's perfect the way it is. But no, Disney's got to go ahead, just screw it up. You know, let's do another one. We're going to do another one because we can make more money off of this franchise. We're not done yet.
Yep. Well, here's the question, though. I mean, this is the question, and I don't know. Maybe it's the writer in me. Maybe it's the English major in me. But where do you go? What's the story? How do you keep this going? You know, where is it that you
apparently
have to go?
It's about whatever is happening with Little Bo Peep, because Little Bo Peep was missing from the third movie. And, yeah. Right. Apparently she comes back, and I don't know what the hell they're going to do with it, but it just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's like, all right. I mean, I Little Bo Peep was missing from the third one, but, I mean, what is there? I don't know. Have you, I think you're on a lot more Disney boards than I am. Were there fans kind of bitching and moaning about no Bo Peep? I mean, was this a big deal?
Frankly, I don't remember, but I don't remember seeing a lot of things where people were going, oh my gosh, what happened to Little Bo Peep? Why wasn't she in this movie? Frankly, I didn't even notice she was gone. I mean, that doesn't say much about the character, really, but, you know, I mean, it's just not, you know, I think they're trying to answer a question that no one cares about, no one had, you know? Even if people did, they didn't care enough that they wanted a whole movie about it.
Yeah, no, that is true.
And
I
it's
mean,
like,
you know,
as far
probably,
as far as the people saying, oh, but it's going to be neat to see, you know, what the toys' life with Bonnie is like. It's like they did the Christmas short, you know, and the Toy Story, another Christmas, the Halloween short, you know, and it's just like, why can't they do a couple little shorts here and there that show, oh, yes, they're still with Bonnie and they're having fun. Look at them, you know, getting to play with a kid again. You know, having one of those every once in a while would be fine. We don't need a whole other movie.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's like, well, I mean, honestly, I just feel like also, I mean, I said this when we reviewed Incredibles 2. I mean, I said this before the movie came out. I said this when the movie was announced. You know, how long did it take for us to get a sequel to Incredibles? You know, it took over a decade. You know, there's just, it's something, you know, it's just something. I mean, and again, this is maybe this is me. Maybe this is me because I'm, you know, Mr. Fancy Schmancy English major. You know, Mr. I'm a writer. I'm a writer. You know, maybe it's my pretension coming out. But there is, you know, this is just something that I've picked up, which is okay. What's the story? Is there a story? Do you need to do this? You know, and it's like if you can't, the whole thing, the old saying, because it's there. Sometimes that's not enough. It's not enough to say because it's there. You know, sometimes you got to be like, is this really necessary? Do we have to go here or can we skip it? Is there still a story if we don't do X? And, you know, I just find like, I just, like with Toy Story, I find myself going, we have a complete trilogy. Finding Nemo, we had Finding Dory, and that was a very beautiful, you know, that was a beautiful movie. It was cute. It was fun. We do not need Finding Dory 2 or, you know, Finding Nemo 2 or Finding Albert's character.
I'm starting to wonder if there is a Finding Dory 2 in the works. You know,
I don't know.
Typical Disney, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, do we need Bugs Life 2? You know, do we really need Bugs Life 2? Are they going to do monsters?
If they did Bugs Life 2, that would even be a bigger, you know, wait between the original and sequel than Incredibles. But,
yep.
I mean, they are doing Mary Poppins Returns this winter, which is the longest between an original sequel.
That is true. There is some territory to mine with that one, because I mean, isn't it taking 30s or 1930s or 1940s?
Yeah.
So at least there.
When?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm not exactly sure I think it's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be like about 20 years after the original, 20 or 25 years or something. So that would put it into the 30s, I think.
Yeah, so I mean, if we're talking 30s and 40s, like almost World War II era, I mean, if we're talking that era, there's things you can do with that. There's places you can go. You know, can Mary Poppins still have her personality when we have the backdrop of you know the shit that's going on in the world and you know the shit that's affecting Britain? See, that is interesting. That's interesting. There's stuff you can do with that. You know, believe it or not. I don't know. I mean, I, again, it's just like I also keep thinking of like, oh God, you know, do we need a sequel to Coco? Because I mean that, you know, really, where do you go with that? What, Miguel goes back to the land of the dead, you know, to help, you know, the great grandmother. I mean, what, you know, it's like the story's beautiful. Like there, we have the story. We're done. We're good. I mean, we don't need, do we really, you know, Inside Out, I don't know, you might be able to do a sequel, you know, if you maybe focus on Riley, like, older, you know, and just the problems that go with it, you know, you might have something there, depending on, you know, how old you make the character, you know, the main character, but, you know, I mean, honestly, The Mouse House might just be beating the horse over, you know, with Toy Story, and you just got to wonder how many other things are they going to beat the horse over. But you know what? I think though I'm gonna jump now because I do want to get to, you know, this is going to be a twofer. I'm going to do a twofer, okay? Because we're going to go, you know, I'm going to take it back to James Cameron. You know, not going to let him off the hook, okay? But first, I think we got to do a twofer, all right? So we're talking comic book movies. You know, specifically the big two that we have right now, we've got Marvel's Little Cinematic Universe and we've got DC's. Now, my question here, okay, first of all, the concept as a whole, are you feeling fatigue with superhero movies? Like concept, the concept in general, are you feeling fatigued?
I don't think I've gotten there yet. And
okay.
I'm attributing that mostly to Marvel because I haven't yet really had a Marvel movie that I hated. And
right.
I mean, there's been ones that aren't quite as good as you know, the other ones, you know, but
Thor Dark World 3.
Iron Man 3. Yeah. But they were not terrible either, you know, and I mean, it's not like I was sad that I saw them or that, you know, I wasted my time. But it was, I think the way that they do these movies, the Marvel movies, is what makes them, you know, makes it so you don't have the fatigue. If you look at each movie, you know, they're really different genres. You know, it's not just a straight superhero movie. You know, like Captain America, First Avenger, or is that the first one? Yeah.
The first Avenger was,
That's like a, that's almost like a World War, you know, World War II era movie. You know, it's not your typical superhero movie. And Ant-Man's like a heist movie. And then, you know, the Thor movies are more mythical, you know, like Greek mythology type movies. And so instead of like, you know, Star Wars or Star Trek or whatever, you know, that are just, that's what it is. It's a Star Wars movie. It's a Star Trek movie. You know what you're in for. With these, you didn't really know what you were going to get. That's what makes it so refreshing.
Yep. No, see, that's, I mean, I'm in the same boat.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe DC is starting to come around to that, you know, after seeing the trailers for Aquaman and Shazam. You know, those look better than the other Marvel movies. Of course, Wonder Woman stand out in the universe is to me, that's the best DC movie right out there. I mean, if I could not get through Justice League, that was so bad.
Justice League, see, I don't know if it's because we had Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder on it, but it just felt like there were times where it felt like it was trying to be like a much happier, a much more fun movie. And then there were other times where it's like we're still in it. You know, we're still in that doldrum that they kind of set up to be this universe.
Well,
and I'm just like,
as you know, we rented it from Redbox. You know, we waited that long to watch Justice League because I just didn't give a crap. And I had a coupon, you know, code for it, and it cost 27 cents to rent it, you know, after the discount. I still wanted my 27 cents back afterwards.
Justice League, it was like I want to pat the brain trust on the shoulder and go, you know what? That was a good try. You didn't quite make it, but it was a good try. You know, it just, Wonder Woman's been the standout. The two trailers they showed at Comic-Con, Aquaman and Shazam, it's like, oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God, I actually want to see these things. Oh, my God, the trailer got me pumped. Holy shit. You know, it's, DC is the what?
DC is the reason you don't hand out participation trophies.
Yeah. Ow. Yeah. Whoa. Once again, shots fired. Holy cow. Jeez, who gave you your license? Holy moly. Good grief. You know, if I feel any sort of fatigue with superhero movies, it's not the superhero movie, okay? It's like, James Cameron, you know, somebody send this message to James Cameron. I don't feel fatigue with superhero movies yet. What I feel fatigue with is anybody trying to be pretentious, with anybody who thinks, oh, man, I can't have a superhero movie be fun, to be serious business, you know, with people who think that because the Nolan, you know, the Batman Nolan trilogy did so well, that you have to be like, oh, serious and dark and whatever. You know, that's what I have fatigue for. It's like, okay, if you want to do a Batman movie and you want to have it dark and be serious, sure. Because you know what? That's fucking Batman. Okay, that's his thing. But, you know, the rest of your superhero universe? No. Like, no, okay? I mean, I know that the story of Watchmen has been like this benchmark for incredible, you know, comic book graphic novels, and it was such an awesome deconstruction of the superhero, you know, the whole superhero world. And don't get me wrong, I love Watchmen. Okay, it is one of my favorite stories as well. But I am not using it as like your blueprint for how you want your superhero universe to be. It's like, I'm sorry, but fuck you. Okay? Fuck you, because no, all right? That's not the essence of the superhero. You know, this whole thing of taking the idea of the superhero and trying to see the seedy underbelly, you know, trying to dispel the myth of how awesome superheroes are. I'm just like, you know what? What dreary ass, you know, crap sack existence do you have? You know, yes, this is make-believe. Yes, this is unbelievable. That's the fucking point. That's the point. It's okay. It's okay. This is fantasy. It's all right. You don't have to deconstruct. You know, the occasional deconstruction is good, but to make that your benchmark, to say, no, from now on it has to be about deconstruction. Enough! Shit! I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm okay.
You sure?
I'm fine. Yeah, no, I'm cool. I'm cool. I got it out. It's out of my system. It's out of my system. I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm good now. I swear to God. I'm cool. I'm cool. Okay? I'm good. But yeah, essentially, you know, that's where my fatigue lies in, you know. And really, it's my hope that, you know, the DC movies going forward focus on, like, you know what? We can have a good time. It's okay. It's okay for us to have a good time. We're not going to be in trouble. You know, we're not going to sink things. It's okay. We're going to have fun. It's all right. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Shit. I'm okay. Let's see. Oh, geez. I would say let's step away from the superhero world. Okay. I think we've said enough, not to mention we have episodes where we've talked about this. So I think let's switch franchises, shall we, Trish?
Okay.
I don't know. Which franchise do you think we should tackle next? We've got a couple of more.
I don't know. Which one do you want to go to?
Well, you know what? You know what? We've mentioned Star Wars. I think I kind of want to talk Star Trek for a moment. Because, I mean, well, I don't know. Like, with Star Trek, it's kind of weird. Because, like, there was a bit there where it did seem like Star Trek was done. You know, there was a period of time there where it did look like we were done with Star Trek. And that was after Star Trek Nemesis came out. Because, you know, that was the fourth Star Trek movie that had the Next Generation crew. And that did not do so well. I mean, I don't think... I want to say that it didn't bomb, but it was not very popular with the fans or with critics. Like, it just did not succeed. You know, it didn't bankrupt Paramount. You know, Paramount didn't get in financial trouble, but it was one of those things where the magic was gone. And, you know, so, yeah, that's kind of why. I mean, Nemesis, I think it came out 2002 or so. And, you know, we had to wait, like, I think several years before the first of the Abrams-verse movies came out. You know, and even that, it was like, okay, let's just hit the reset button and start fresh. But, you know, even the Abrams.
Was it the first one? Is that the one that we saw together?
Star Trek Into Darkness was his second one. Star Trek Into Darkness was his second one. The first one was just called Star Trek, like just plain Star Trek. The second one was Into Darkness.
Okay.
And yeah, I know that those two movies have been criticized because people are like, that's not Star Trek. Like, that does not feel like Star Trek. It's a Star Wars movie wearing a Star Trek costume. And, you know, I know that when Abrams got the job for Force Awakens, that there was a lot of talk that basically the two Star Trek movies that he did were his audition tape to get his what he really wanted. And I think he even said that he was more a fan of Star Wars than Star Trek.
That's right, he did. I forgot about that. Now, I don't have a problem so much with the new Star Trek movies. Some of them are, you know, quite entertaining, but, you know, I don't know. I just don't know where they're going to go from here.
Yeah,
are they just going to keep remaking them now that they're in a new universe? I don't know. You know, because...
Yeah. Well...
I don't know. I
know
that when we saw Into Darkness that, you know, when it was just like, oh, it's going to be Kirk that gets killed by the radiation poisoning this time.
Yeah.
And,
it was Wrath of Khan 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I remember sitting in the theater
thinking, oh, please don't let Spock scream Khan. Please don't let him scream Khan. That's going to be so cheesy.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And he did it.
Yep.
I was like, oh, no.
Yep. Yeah. And it's like, this is supposed to be this emotional moment where, oh, my God, Kirk is dead. And then they have Spock screaming Khan, and it's just like, and moment's gone.
Yep.
And the moment's gone. We're out. Yeah. I know. Well, I haven't – there's been talk that there is going to be a fourth movie. I haven't, it's one of those things that there's talk, but there's been nothing concrete saying, yes, the fourth of the, it's called the Kelvin timeline, you know, the fourth of the Kelvin timeline movies is coming. You know, I have not heard, you know, I haven't heard that definitive, yes, it's being done. I think right now they're focusing on Star Trek Discovery, which that was the show that they released onto the streaming service. It's, you know, we're getting season two, and the big thing, like the final episode, there was like hints at the Enterprise, and the Enterprise is supposed to be showing up in this next season, and it's supposed to be like, you know, the beginning days of the Enterprise. So we're getting, what we're getting is, you know, have you ever heard of a character named Robert April?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, it was established that Robert April was the first captain of the Enterprise. Like, he was the very first captain. He predated Christopher Pike. He was never seen in the original series. I think Roddenberry actually had that name down as the captain of the Enterprise before he went with Christopher Pike. So it's kind of his status was kind of semi-canon. Like, he's not quite canon, but people just accept that he exists. I know that when they did the Star Trek cartoon, you know, the one that they had in the 70s, that we did see Robert April in an episode of that. But, you know, he was never established like in the proper, you know, live action stuff. But I think that Discovery is trying to make an attempt to actually like finally just, you know, put the nail down, you know, just hammer it down. Yes, Robert April exists. Here he is. You know, and it's, yeah, I mean, I remember we did watch the pilot when it aired on CBS. We haven't seen the rest of the episodes. I've heard some people who did pay for like the subscription service say that actually the show is pretty good, you know, that it gets better. There's a part of me that's like, okay, you know, if we get the chance, you know, maybe if we have like a free month or something and we want to check it out before, you know, we kind of like just take the total plunge and buy the subscription service, then yeah, sure. But as is, I mean, for me with Star Trek, I feel like the big problem is trying to figure out what is Star Trek going to be going forward. Because for the longest time, it was Roddenberry's vision. It was Gene Roddenberry's idea of the future. And, you know, it seems like after he died, and, you know, in the succeeding years, that people have been trying to be like, okay, maybe we can kind of play with Star Trek. Because I know that there are a lot of people who were trying to write for Star Trek, you know, when Gene Roddenberry was alive and he was an influence, that got frustrated because they, you know, it was very kind of constraining, you know, everybody on the Enterprise was a big happy family, and, you know, there was no, like, serious conflict. You know, they had disagreements, but, you know, there wasn't anything like, you know, there wasn't any, like, serious shakeups. You know, and I just know that people wanted to get away from this idea. You know, they wanted a bit more gray into things. And a part of me understands that, but another part of me says, how do you do that while still keeping Roddenberry's idea, which is this hopeful future, which is this idea that humanity can kind of rise above the petty bullshit, and that there is a tomorrow where we do kind of take all this crap and we set it aside and go, you know what? There's other shit that we can be doing other than just fighting amongst each other. I mean, I don't, is that possible, or is that kind of just, you know, some wishy-washy thing that it's like, fucking grow up, you know?
Oh.
I mean, that's my thing. I don't feel Star Trek fatigue, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, are we still in Roddenberry's dream, or is that gone and Star Trek is really just the shell of what it originally was, and what's being kept is just names and places?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what Roddenberry's original vision of you know, was, so I don't know.
Well, again, it was kind of happy future in the sense that, yeah, you know, mankind can be like, you know, mankind can just get away from all the petty bullshit and unite together and just, you know, forget all about separation of color, creed, religion, gender, and just, you know, go out into the stars and, you know, show how awesome we can be. I mean, that's my understanding of the vision, you know, that Roddenberry had. But oh man, I've got no segue for this, but I'm looking, you know, I'm kind of looking at like, you know, just the I'm looking at the art that we used to publish to, like, you know, promote this episode. I'm looking at, you know, and I'm just looking at the list that I had of, you know, franchises to talk about. And I know you've never seen the Fast and the Furious movies. Like, you've never even seen a single one, right?
I have not, but yeah. Billy is here if you want his opinion.
Yeah, you know what? Put Billy on for like a few, because yeah, I kind of want to discuss Fast and the Furious with him.
Okay, here he is.
Hello.
Okay, so yeah, Bill, you know what? You've seen the Fast and the Furious movies, so I wanted you in for this because, you know, we've been talking franchises and are they done? Is there fatigue? So my question to you is, do you think is there any life left in the Fast and the Furious? Or, I mean, or should, you know, or should the franchise kind of do what Paul Walker and Vin Diesel did at the end of the seventh movie and just, like, drive off into the sunset?
I don't know, because I haven't seen the eighth one yet. I know I have it sitting on a DVR, but it could be franchise fatigue, but I think the reason why there's not a whole lot of franchise fatigue for Fast and the Furious is that they wait to release to make the movie. There's a lot nice, like, about, you know, maybe a year or two between the movies.
Yeah.
So what? Like, I'm not, like, a total, like, you know, one of those guys that are like, yeah, Fast and Furious, I'm not like that. It's just, I just watched them just because, frankly, I just want to see how much more over the top they can go. The first one was just kind of straight up, like, you know, street racing and stuff like that. Then, well, let's see, how are they numbered? Because I know that the next one come out was Too Fast, Too Furious, but
right. And then they did
And then,
I think wasn't the third one Tokyo Drift?
The third one was Tokyo Drift that had no one from the original movie except for at the very end you had Vin Diesel show up. And as it turns out, they're up to eight. I think in number seven they actually finally make reference to that, and like that's when that movie is supposed to take place, is like during the time that number seven happened.
Yeah, I think. Well, and actually, didn't I know that number six? I know that number six. You have a post-credit scene that has one of the main characters getting killed by Jason Statham. And I could swear I don't think it's the seventh movie that Tokyo Drift takes place in. I think it's like the sixth one. Like I think like one of
no,
I think
no,
like
because
the
time
wait.
Period is that yeah Jason Statham killed that guy. What is his name? I can't remember his name right now.
Yeah, like Han or something like that.
Yeah, Han.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kills Han, but the thing is that that post-credits scene happened in number six. Oh, wait, no, six? Yeah, number six.
Yeah.
Is, a flashback to when he killed him in Tokyo Drift. And what it is that it's just kind of, kind of the story's out of alignment, basically. But what it is that I believe number six, the bad guy in that, his brother is Jason Statham, and they basically caught the guy and put him in the hospital, basically in a coma. That's the reason why he kills Han, is because, you guys tried to kill my brother, so I'm going to kill one of you. But when they released Tokyo Drift, nobody knew that connection or anything, that there was anything like that. And so in number six, you have Vin Diesel show up in Tokyo and talk to the guy that was the star of Tokyo Drift. And basically, I think that's where the ending credit scene from Tokyo Drift is where the time period is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So in
I
other
just
words,
know that,
they made Tokyo Drift three movies before it's supposed to take place in the timeline for the movies. But however, I will say this one thing.
Well, mm-hmm.
Fast Five is probably the best one of all the movies.
Oh, yeah. Is that
just
the one
how
with the,
super ridiculous over the top it goes.
Yeah,
that's
is
the one
that
where
the
they steal
the
bank vault out of a bank in Brazil. No, out of a police station in Brazil.
Yeah, and that's the one. That's the one that takes place in South America with the drug with the drug lord, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they have to race through like a mine or something. Yeah.
One was number four.
That was number four. Okay. Number four was the one in South America with the drug kingpin. Okay. I just know that for me, I think the Fast and the Furious movies, I don't know, maybe there's still life left in them, only because I think the other thing that I got to give the Fast and the Furious movies credit for is, even though there's some shit that I'm just like bullshit, like, using the cars to crash the military cargo plane, or the fact that like you look at the previews for Fast 8 and holy shit, let's have a submarine, let's throw a submarine into things. I just – there's something, and this is why I don't get mad at the Fast and the Furious movies like I do with the Transformers movies, is it just me or the Fast and the Furious movies do not have any sense of pretension? Like, they know they're just popcorn flakes. They don't try to pretend they're anything else.
They know that they are just action flicks, that they're there to be entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why I'm not mad at the Fast and the Furious movies, why I don't start, like, start going, wow, you guys are, fuck you all. Bill, can you, can you hand the phone back to Trish?
Yes.
Hi, yes. Well, thank, Yeah, Bill and I are done. You know, I'm so glad he was able to do this. You know what? I think I saved the best for last. Cause you know what? It's time to take, I think it's time to put up, you know, I think it's time to blindfold James Cameron, you know, tie him to the pole, give him the cigarette and put him in front of the firing squad. Cause yeah, I think he's got a, you know, I think that he has to, you know, he has to answer for what he said, because you know what? And I'm gonna do another twofer, because I think even though he didn't direct all of them, and he's not even really the architect of one of them, he is one of the faces of both of these franchises, and I'm talking the Terminator and Alien movies. Because if we want to talk franchise fatigue, I think both. I think I'm gonna put my foot down, and I'm gonna say if anything out of all the shit that we've talked about, if anything embodies franchise fatigue, it would be the two of those things.
Well,
I mean,
for me, you know, I would agree, but, you know, like, as far as the Alien movies go, the first Alien movie I saw was Prometheus. I had never seen the
poor
original.
Soul.
I saw this was coming out, and I'm like, okay, let's go see this. And then, you know, oh, you don't need to have seen the original ones to enjoy this one. Yeah, you don't need anything to not enjoy. You know, I mean, you're not going to enjoy that one.
And
it was just like, it was so freaking boring. And I timed it. And by the time something finally happened in that movie, it was over an hour into that movie. And then, and then let's just keep making them. Let's just keep making, you know, ones about, you know, these aliens and just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And
we've seen the other Alien movies after. Like, we kind of went back. I know that we saw Alien and Aliens together, right? I want to say we saw the first two together, yeah. And then we watched the third one because we found out it had Paul McGann, the Eighth Doctor. So I know we watched at least some of that one.
I don't know if I remember that one at all.
Yeah. I know one thing I will say is that I know what Alien, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned that it took like how long for something to happen in Prometheus?
Not over an hour.
Over an hour. Yeah. I also know that Alien, that first movie, that it also takes a long time for something to happen. But I would say that the thing with that first movie is that you still had, like, it was slow going, but stuff was still happening. And at least, like, just the way that it was presented, kind of almost, I don't want to say low budget, but kind of the way it was presented, you still kind of were just...
It had a lot of build-up, though, you know?
Exactly,
it had a lot
of
good tension and build-up. And, yeah, it's when you have a good storytelling and, you know, and well, like, same thing with Jaws, you know? I mean, Jaws, you don't see the shark until the end of the movie, you know? And... So it's just, there's a good way to do things and there's a bad way to do things. And Prometheus
bad. Well, and the other thing that I got to give the first two movies in the franchise is that Alien was science fiction, but it also was horror. It was a blend of the two. And then Aliens was more action movie. Like it followed the playbook that the Marvel movies follow, which is, you know, let's have a different flavor. You know, let's have a different flavor with this. So that's what happened with Aliens. It's like, let's do more action movie based. And then Aliens 3 was a clusterfuck. Then there was Aliens Resurrection, which basically the whole reason behind that movie is people didn't like the fact that Ripley died in the third one. So let's bring her back and let's have her look more like her old self instead of bald. I think they did a joke about that on Blossom, you know, where her best friend is, you know, a Halloween episode, her best friend comes in as Ripley and somebody goes, wait, didn't you die? And she says, yeah, but I came back. People didn't want to remember me bald. But yeah, I think what needs to happen is it needs to go to sleep for a while till somebody can come up with something interesting, like something really to do with it that can, you know, recapture that magic. the Terminator franchise. Yeah. You know, wasn't Cameron supposed to be working on another Terminator movie? Yeah, Yeah. Terminator, to me, I think has become a clusterfuck because it's, I got to be honest. I think the Terminator movies could have been good with just two. You know, ended with
the first,
Terminator
the first
Judgment
two
Day. Well. You could have, yeah.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day is the best one by far.
Oh,
and,
yeah. Terminator 3 and Terminator 3 and Terminator Genesis felt like we need to give Arnold a paycheck. You know,
yeah.
The third Terminator movie was give Arnold a paycheck by having him play a classic character. Genesis felt to me like, oh shit, we need to remind people why Terminator movies are awesome. Arnold, you still lift weights, right? You're still strong? Can you fit into the jacket? Yes. You know, and it was also kind of a way of, you know, it was also kind of a way of, let's also make this a soft reboot. You know, I just feel like if the Terminator franchise had only been Terminator and Terminator Judgment Day, we would have had a story. It would have been just fine. The only thing, if there's anything I would have done different, you know, if it had to go beyond just those two movies, is you know what the third movie should have been? Like, to me, what I feel the third movie should have been is entirely in the future, like entirely post-Judgment Day, but not like with Salvation. You know, not like what they did with Salvation with Christian Bale as John Connor and all that shit. But what would happen is we see what happens in the future while the first two movies are going on. Like, in other words, we see the resistance send John Connor, you know, John Connor back, send Kyle Reese back. We see the resistance reprogram the Terminator, the T-800, and send him back for the events of Judgment Day. And then the entire time is also that battle in the future where they were trying to win once and for all. And that, you know, and then also that what you do is the ending is that aborted ending from Terminator 2. You know, the one that shows, like, Sarah Connor as an old woman in the park and indicates that, like,
yeah,
you know, Judgment Day was averted. Like, that would be the end of this third movie. Like, you'd have this thing where the resistance wins, you know, they're all like, yay, the earth is saved. And you have this thing where there's a fade to white and it fades in on Sarah Connor, you know, indicating not only was the post-Judgment Day apocalypse, not only did humanity win, but there was like a double victory because also the time travel worked, you know. Or this thing where, you know, you could have humanity almost getting destroyed and there's a white flash and it goes to the Sarah Connor thing, indicating or something like that. Like, that's how I would have, you know, that's what I would have done. You know, and that would have, but it's like, yeah, Terminator, it's like, and then, I mean, did you see any of the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I mean, I that wasn't bad, but it was just like, no. You know, it was happening at the same time as Salvation, and I was just like, what's the point? What's the point other than just, well, we want to do a Terminator TV series? And it just didn't, you know. It also, I know some people were saying the reason it died is because it used Summer Glau as a main actress. Like, no offense to her, but there's just a joke running around that if you hire Summer Glau to be on your show, that your show is going to die. You know, apparently she can't be on a TV show because the TV show gets canceled.
Oh, Firefly. Firefly.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why when Summer Glau was on Arrow, she was only on for one season. You know, it's probably just like, let's have her character only be on for one season. Okay, we don't want this show to die. She's going to be on one season, and that's it. Which, I mean, again, no offense to Summer Glau. You know, I hear she's a wonderful young lady. This is a don't shoot the messenger thing. You know, just repeating the joke here. But you know what? I think I'm going to use that to segue. I am going to use that to segue because, you know what? We've had a good time. You know, this has been a I think this has been a great episode. I do. I'm going to apologize for a second. I'm apologize to the listeners. I'm going to apologize to you. I mean, there were a couple of bits where I went ragey fanboy, and I do apologize. That's something that
fine.
I do kind of, you know, yeah. I mean, I do get a little ragey fanboy. I don't like to be a raging fanboy. I do get passionate, and I do, you know, as the show is called Keeping It Reels. I keep it real, sometimes a little too much. But, you know, I do want to apologize if I broke anybody's ears, especially yours, because you've got very cute ears. I love your ears.
Huh.
They're just so cute. You know, same thing like your, you know, actually, I think just your entire package is cute. You're just cute all over.
Okay. Just get on with it. Come on.
I'm going to stop now. I'm getting mushy. Getting reels again, but I'm getting mushy. But you know what? One thing though, I do. You know what? It's honesty time. I gotta be honest with the listening audience here, okay? Because you know what? This is actually the last episode of Keeping It Reels, not forever, but in this current format. You know what? It's been great. We've had a bunch of great episodes, some fun conversation. We've had some fun guests, but you know what? Keeping It Reels is gonna regenerate. Just like the doctor, you know, the doctor regenerates, he changes, and this show is too. This show has turned, you know, this show is really great. I have fun doing it. But you know what? The live format, it's great. It's awesome. We've had, you know, we've had people call in that have been great guests. But you know what? I think it's better for everybody that we transform the show. It is coming back. We're going to be taking a little bit of a hiatus for a couple of weeks. You know, we're going to take the rest of at least the first couple of weeks in August off, but we will be back just in a very different form. We are going to be switching homes. We're leaving Blog Talk. This is our last Blog Talk episode. We're going to be finding another home. We're looking into some places. Right now, it's probably going to be Podbeam. Don't quote me on that. But you know what? If anything, just keep an eye out. Keep an eye out on our Facebook page. Keep an eye out on the Let's Be Reels Facebook page. We're going to be announcing where our new home is. But yeah, we're going to be moving to a recorded podcast. Okay, that way it's better. You know, it's better for everybody. This will allow us to get on some. You know, it's been great when we have guests like my friend Matthew Bendett, when we had noted author James Cavanaugh. When we had those two wonderful people, Peter Brown and Karen, the ones who went to Pixar Pier, you know, this new format will enable us to find, you know, some other guests, you know, some people who are not constantly on the show, like myself and Patricia and Iggy and, you know, the rest, you know, just finding some more people that can be on, some people who are knowledgeable in a lot more stuff. And also, it will be better for you guys, the audience. I mean, you won't be able to talk to us live anymore, but you know, we'll still have the Facebook page, so you can send us messages. You can still post on the page. But, you know, it'll also enable you to be able to listen, you know, more at your leisure. You don't have to worry about missing that live element. And it'll also enable us to do stuff like movie reviews and things like that and, you know, really be able to bring them on without having to worry about, uh-oh, we waited 2 weeks to review this movie, but have they seen it? And, you know, you don't have to worry about trying to track down an archived episode because we're going to record it, we're going to put it on a website, and you'll be able to find it. So, you know, everybody wins. Everybody wins. And you know what? Speaking for myself, I am going to try and find some conventions to be at. You know, we are going to find some conventions so you can talk to us at least face-to-face so you do get that live element. But, you know, this particular format, we are going to put it to a close. Will we never do it again? Never say never. You know, we may pull it out for something special. But for now, this element is, you know, we're going to be putting it away. Okay? It's going to go into storage for a while. You know, we may actually do something live another time. You know, maybe another way. You know, never say never. I will say also, and you know, this may actually also enable us to do more videos on Facebook. You know, you keep an eye out. There may be more Let's Be Real's Facebook videos, you know, featuring myself, maybe featuring Patricia, Iggy, you know, we can do more. This opens up a realm of possibilities that we will share with you. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, because this is not a goodbye. This is change, my dear. But yeah.
And not a moment
what
too
you,
soon.
Trish? Well, maybe not that, but yeah. What do you want to say about it, Trish? You know, just about the fact that we're closing one chapter and opening another.
Oh, I'm excited because you know, I mean, these live shows have been fun, but they do kind of eat away at your personal life, especially when it's, you know, 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. So there's been things that we've had to miss, things we've had to be late for, or you know, it'll be nice to actually have Saturday evenings free again.
Yeah, unless that's the, you know, the day we record. There's always that.
Well, the good thing about going to the recording thing is that we can record any day of the week. Whatever's convenient for us, what's
true.
Convenient. If we get, you know, start having guests on, you know, we can work it around someone else's schedule instead of, oh, no,
yep.
It has to be Saturdays at 6. So.
Yep. And you know, also, I mean, it's good for everybody out there because, you know, they don't have to wait until Saturday. You know, we could even surprise them with a, hey, it's Wednesday and look what we got. Look, we got a new episode. So, you know, they don't have to wait until the weekend.
Yep.
They could be like, I don't want to wait for Keeping It Real. And then we could just be like, surprise, you don't have to. So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it is good to, you know, kind of the recording also gives a lot of flexibility for those involved. So, yeah, it is, as I said, win-win. So, you know what, I think with that in mind, you know, I do have to say, I mean, this is going to be the last time I'm doing this live, but yeah, this is Eduardo M. Fryer. And, you know, for today, my lovely co-host, my wonderful wife.
Patricia Fryer.
Yep. And, yeah, basically, you know what? I think to end things, I'm going to play the music that we do for the intro one last time on our live format to kind of end things off. And then, yeah, we'll, you know, we will be seeing you again in a couple of weeks in our new home. So keep your eyes out, you know, keep your eyes out on social media, you know, the Facebook, keep your eyes out on Twitter, because you know what, we will be, you know, we will be coming back to you. All right. Trust me, you know, trust me. We will become, you know, we will be back. Yes. One day. We shall be back. So yeah, keep it reals, everybody. Consider this your post-credit scene. As I said at the top of the show, the Fantastic Four and X-Men are home. Awesome. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to the day where I watch a Marvel movie and the post-credit scene for Signal. I am so waiting for that. Ball's in your court, Marvel. Let's do it.